time of sadness, I will lift my voice in praise to you. Time stands still as I kneel down before draws near like waves upon the shore. You touch me in my brokenness, in these whispering shadows I will lift the pieces of you.
almost imperceptible, the way they gain their ground. They'll steal an inch just to take a mile every time you turn around. They assassinate our liberties and cause me sleepless nights. Every time they pass another firearms law, they assault my Bill of Rights. As they plead for public safety and they press on towards their goal, I say the Brady Bill is a stab in the back in the fight for gun control. 'Cause I'm a fight to keep alive freedom in the Bill of Rights, native-born American. Who's gonna rise and take a stand, draw a line in the sand, hold the line till kingdom come? So if they ever try to legislate, send the troops to confiscate before the dirty deed gets done, somebody's blood on down the street might run. If they ever try to come and take my gun, no, they better never try to come and take my gun. They better leave our guns alone. Is it more than just coincidence whenever Congress takes the hill, how the blood just spews from the evening news before they pass another bill? And it's an insult to my senses when I read the New York Times, how the truth gets buried on the very back page, somewhere there between the lines. Well, there's a method to their madness, and the media's there too. And do they really think that I'm truly that dumb to be played for such a fool? Well, I'm a fight to keep alive freedom in the Bill of Rights, state of an American. Who's gonna rise and take a stand, draw a line in the sand, hold the line till kingdom come? So if they ever try to legislate, send the troops to confiscate before the dirty deed gets done, well, somebody's blood on down the street might run. If they ever try to come and take my gun, no, they better never try to come and take my gun. Just leave our liberty teeth alone. They tell me that I'm paranoid, I see things that aren't there. While they flood the country full of aliens, there's crime and trouble everywhere. They say they have to take my guns away to save me from myself. Am I a threat to national security or their one world commonwealth? Well, here's one thing they don't tell you that they don't want you to know. When a tyrant finally gets a hold of your guns, that's when he takes control. Well, I'ma die to keep alive freedom in the Bill of Rights, native-born American. Who's gonna rise and take a stand, draw a line in the sand, hold the line till kingdom come? So if they ever try to legislate, send the troops to confiscate before the dirty deed gets done, well, somebody's blood on down the street might run. If they ever try to come and take my gun, said they better never try to come and take my gun. They better leave our guns alone. 'Cause I've got an inalienable right to defend myself, and it's backed up by the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. No, they better never try to come and take my gun. They better leave our guns alone. You can't have my gun, but I might share with you a few of my bullets. Yeah, no, they better never ever. No, they better never ever. No, they better never ever try to come and take my gun. Just leave them guns alone.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the fourth day of December, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan. And the topic for today's broadcast is current events with Brother Keith. And he will be joining us here in a few minutes. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am, and we also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhonda, Cumriambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net. Hold on just a second. And again, the website is pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And if you go to the homepage there, you'll find information about helping us out with a donation if you feel so led. And there is a page called Daily Mail where I try to keep current events and prepper information, even guns and ammunition, health issues, etc. on that page. There's a page called Contact Us. If you don't have my personal contact information, you can go there and send me a note, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. And remember, the will of Yahweh our Father will never take you where the grace of our Father will not protect you. And a couple quick verses, and then we'll bring Keith on here. John 8:12. Again, therefore, Yahshua spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, or you could say ignorance, but will have the light of life. This references back to Isaiah 60, and if we read there starting in verse 1, it says, Arise, shine, let your light, for your light has come, and Yahweh's glory has risen on you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and thick darkness, thick ignorance, the peoples. But Yahweh will rise on you, and His glory shall be seen on you. Nations, or peoples, will come to your light, or knowledge, or truth, and kings to the brightness of your rising. All right, very good. Keith, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, you're coming through loud and clear.
Okay, great.
It's been a while. Let me adjust my volume on my headset here a little bit. It's been a while since we've run through Skype, so if there's any glitches, I apologize for that. But as far as I know, it's going to work okay. Everything seems to be still running. Okay, very good. So what have you been up to lately?
Oh, not too much. Just viewing the world with a bucket of popcorn and a soda. And watching it all unfold.
Yeah, they give us enough to talk about, don't they?
Yeah. Well, you know, people thought that COVID was going away, right? They all think it's going away. It's going away. Oh, it's gone. It's basically gone. Well, they missed that news article, Dan, that the G20 countries just determined that an international COVID vaccine passport would be required for travel.
Right, right.
To their countries. So well, they must have missed that article.
Yeah, we've known for a while now that they're not going to give up on this. This is a health issue used to masquerade a communist world takeover. As long as the demons are still walking on this earth, they're not going to give up on their agenda.
No, it's part of it. It's a big part of it that kicked it all off. The final nail in the coffin, if you'd like to say. Now, some people say that the New World Order, whatever you want to call this, we'll just say that term, right? Because it's easy for people to understand. Most people are familiar with that term. So, you know, they thought that, the pandemic was over, the majority of people, and they thought that the New World Order, they stopped in their tracks, that they're not going forward with it. But what they don't understand is that the New World Order is already here. It's already in place. If it wasn't in place, they wouldn't have been able to lock down every single country in the world within 2 days back in March of 2020. So the New World Order is already here. We're not stopping anything from coming to, you know, fruition with their plans. They're planning on nailing the...
For some reason, my recording mechanism dies on me every now and then mid-broadcast, and I just noticed it had stopped. I have no idea how long ago it stopped, so go ahead and continue with what you're saying.
That's all right. So, you know, they're becoming aware of certain things that are going on that they don't like the, you know, the trannies reading to children in libraries and... You know, the corruption in the elections, but here's the biggest problem and the biggest hurdle that people like me, your listeners, people like you, Dan, and others who are truly awake to who's doing this and who the head of the snake is. The general population, as long as they continue to believe in the system and continue to go out and vote for these criminals that they put in office because, oh, well, he's better than the other guy. We should go out and vote for him. Nothing will ever change. You know, I'm starting to think that the criminals behind all this, the big Jews at the top behind all this, you know, the head of the snake, really don't care if people get angry over trannies or angry over, you know, pedophilia or angry over, you know, the COVID vaccine boosters, because as long as they have the people entangled in the two-party system of this team versus that team, red versus blue, Republican versus Democrat, Chargers versus Buccaneers, right, like the football games. they have this place under complete lockdown as long as people still participate and believe in this rigged election scheme that the swindlers run every 2 or 4 years in this country. That's my current thoughts on the topic.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's all part of the beast system, as the Book of Revelation and other.
Now, let me just interject here real quick. I forgot to add one caveat to that. Now, if you want to go out and vote in your local elections and you live in some little town where, you know, you live in a town of, you know, 8,000 people, 4,000 people, 3,000 people, whatever it might be. Yeah, you can help your community get better. But if you're voting in these national elections thinking that you're going to change something, I don't know what to tell you. Has it ever changed in your lifetime? I mean, ask yourself that question. Next time you go to vote, and I know people are very close to me who go out and vote, and I support them to go vote because that's what, you know, that's what they want to do. They can go do it, but it's not going to solve any problems, right?
Well, I can't remember what celebrity, George Carlin or can't think of the guy's, Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain. One of them said it, but anyway, if voting mattered, they wouldn't let you do it. So,
right.
You know. So that's really it in a nutshell. If it really mattered, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. So they know, at least at the upper levels where it really matters, not the local dog catcher or even the county sheriff so much, except in certain particular counties. But people need to realize that they control it, and they have controlled it for quite some time. In fact, they've had total control over it since it became digital. When computers started counting the votes, we lost total control at that point. That doesn't mean every single election, but they had the mechanism in place from that point on that if it was a critical race, they could play with the numbers and get whoever they wanted in there. That's another reason why they don't care at all about what we think on matters. I mean, people have been frustrated for years. It's like, why are they doing this? So, you know, you can tell that at least 70 to 80% of the people in this country don't agree with what's going on, and yet they do it over and over and over. Well, because their jobs, the money in their pockets, and holding that office no longer requires our support. And they know that. because the Jews, through those companies, and some of them are Canadian companies that control our voting. I mean, that's criminal. So the Jews in control of that don't care. They got control of the money, so obviously they don't care about your wallet. They can produce as many digital shekels as they need to do whatever they're doing, which at the moment they're buying up Anglo-Saxon businesses, homes, farms, ranches, real estate everywhere, industry. They're buying them up with these electronic shekels, and they're pricing us out of the market. That's why so many people today are homeless. And many people can't find decent rental or even property to buy because the Jew comes in there with a virtual suitcase full of electronic shekels, and he can pay whatever the price he, you know, you ask for, plus another 15-20%, no skin off his big ass hook nose, because he can just press a button on a computer and get more electronic shekels from his fellow Talmudic worshipers down at the Federal Reserve. I mean, it's such a scam, and in your face, how people can't see it is beyond me. Over to you.
Yeah, you know, touching, you know, that's funny. I've got one of the articles I wanted to bring up was what you did about.
Hello? Hello? Are you there, Keith? Uh-oh, says we lost the connection. Hopefully he'll be able to get back.
Discuss tonight, Dan, the news articles are all from Yahoo News. Yeah.
Yeah, we lost your connection there for about 20 seconds.
Oh, okay. Let me repeat what I said. So, you know, like you were saying about rental properties and the cost of things and stuff like that, and how they just print up their money, and they go out and they buy these things up and basically price us out of the market. Well, that goes along with one of the news articles I wanted to discuss, and all the news articles that I'm going to mention tonight, there's about four or five of them, are all from Yahoo News. Okay. So this is a regular news feed that all the normal general population go to every morning to get their news. It's not some weird conspiracy website. It's not some dopey, you know, Zero Hedge website where they, I'm tired of these websites like Zero Hedge and Mike Adams website. And I used to support these people. And I've changed my mind. Everything these people talk about never comes to fruition, ever. I've been listening to it for 12 years. None of it ever takes place. Nothing ever happens. So forget about those news sites. They're all bullshit, as far as I'm concerned now. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. Gosh. Institutions set to own is a news headline. Yahoo News, October 30th, 2022. They're telling you what these big bankers are going to do to rental properties in this country and what they have been doing. Institutions set to own 40% of single family rental homes. And then it goes on, how can you get your share? Like you're going to be able to participate in this, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Right. See what they do with the headline? Okay, this is a psychological ploy here. And they do this constantly with their headlines. So institution, this is how you got to examine this stuff, because this is important. This is how the public is fooled by these criminal people. Okay, this is how they're fooled. Institutions set to own 40% of single-family rental homes. Now, that's a bad thing, right? Most people think that's bad. Right, Dan? They think that's a bad headline.
Right.
But then the Jew puts in, well, how can you get your share? How can you profit off of this? And right. It turns people's minds just with a cent, just with a fragment of a sentence. Because now the person's thinking, well, wait a minute here. This isn't so bad. I'm going to get my share of the pie. I'm going to get more money in my pocket.
Let me reinforce that thought real quick with two short little anecdotes here. I know a lady that has a relative that lives on the east coast of Florida here, and she's disgusted with this relative because her and her husband have invested in the pharmaceutical companies, and they're just relishing over the past 3 years and all the shit that's been done because they're making a fortune on their investment in the pharmaceuticals. So there's a person exactly like you're talking about. And the second person that was like that was the bartender down at the American Legion when I went there shortly after they were pulling some of our boys out of Serbia, I think it was. And I said something to her. I said, your husband is in the Marine Corps, and he's associated with the Air Reserve base here. And I said, I'll bet your husband's happy to see the boys are getting pulled out of that idiotic place and coming home. And she says, well, not really. And I just looked at her and I said, what do you mean, not really? She goes, well, let's just say we're heavily invested.
Yeah.
So there, an active duty Marine Corps officer has invested so that he makes money off of the Jewish wars that we see that never end. So there's two classic examples just in my own sphere of acquaintances that support what you just said. Over to you.
Well, they love their money, right? The love of, right? They love their money. The love of money is the root of all evil, as our father says, not money itself.
Right.
Right? So money's a tool that we use, but these people love their money. They can't, they would sell their children for money. I'm convinced of it. If the price was big enough, they would sell all their kids. I'm not kidding. So let me go into this article a little bit, just with one little paragraph here to see how they do this. Okay, remember I mentioned the title, right? How they, it's a bad thing, but then they turn it around with just that last, how can you get your share? Here we go. Okay, now so now people are reading through the article, and we come here. Yardi Matrix, which I guess is the company that did this survey here, estimates that by the close of this decade, institutions will own 40% of single-family rental units in the U.S. Guys, 40%? The other 60% you probably wouldn't even want to live in because they're in the ghetto, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In Detroit, you know. Okay. Private equity funds are looking to capitalize on a market traditionally owned by individual owners or mom-and-pop companies. Translation, good people, mostly, who are trying to make a living in the real estate industry, right? It's a niche market with high yield returns that have been largely untapped by the major players. Code word, major players means Jews. Can you blame heavy hitter institutional buyers for wanting to get in on the action? Okay, there's their tagline. It's all bad. Then they say, well, can you blame them for wanting to get in on the action? Wouldn't you want to do it if you could? Okay, so see how they twist the people's minds?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is all psychological operations. Every news article does this if you study this stuff. Okay, so now the person's back. Well, geez, okay, yeah, I'm going to get – well, they're getting their action. Maybe I can get in on this and get my action, right?
Yep.
And that's what I got to say in that article there. Just see, this is why the people don't do anything. They don't really. Yeah, they're awake to some things, but they're not awake to the major issues, right? Trannies and libraries. Who gives a shit? Good. So sickos want to bring their kids. I mean, sickos want to bring their kids to watch trannies read library books. Good, let them bring their kids. They're useless anyway to us, right? They're just going to be a burden anyway. Okay, you got to understand, you ain't going to save those people. They've right. already made their choice and their decision. Hell, they're probably so-called transitioning their little boy to a girl as we speak.
It's sick. But then again, Keith, this is the separating of the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats. I've told people this for years. There's only two people that the scriptures are concerned with, his sheep and everyone else. Okay? You boil it down, that's the only two groups of people there are. His sheep, who respond and hear his voice and behave accordingly, and then everybody else. They get us caught up in this, dialogue of, well, are there good Jews, bad Jews, good Muslims, bad Muslims? Okay. I constantly remind them, look, there's only two camps. You're in one or the other, period. You're in his camp, part of his flock, or you're everybody else. It really doesn't matter what you want to call them. You're just part of everybody else, which are the goats.
Yep. The good Jew, bad thing. I love that ridiculous argument or mention. Like, you tell somebody about what the head of the snake is doing, and they go, well, aren't there good? There's not every Jew out there. Well, first of all, we don't have time to go through every Jew out there. As a group, they side with each other. And here's how you know that, you know, that there are no good ones. Okay, let's just come out and say it, like I've been saying for years. There's no good Jew, okay? And here's how you know this. Back on 9/11/2001, where these bastards decide to take our towers down in New York City through explosives. No airplanes flew in any buildings. If you don't know that, I don't know what to tell you. There was a company called Odigo, which was an Israeli phone/texting service company. And this Odigo company sent out a text message to 3,000 Jews in New York City, telling them, do not go to downtown Manhattan today, do not go into work in downtown Manhattan today, something bad is going to happen. So 3,000 Jews got that message. Okay? Well, you know what? Not one of those 3,000 Jews texted anybody, called any news station, called any police, called any FBI, warned the security at the building that this is going to happen. Okay, not one of them. So someone please tell me where the good Jew is. If you can find one in the fucking – I'm sorry, Dan. If you can find one in the woodpile, point them out. You're not going to find one. You'll be searching till the day you die. There are no good ones. They are the genetic children of the devil.
Yep. And besides that, it's even simpler. If you just, if you claim to be a Bible believer, and for the Zio Christards in the modern mainstream churches, we'll even go to the New Testament, where you guys like to hang out, but you don't ever read the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it says that those who deny the Christ are what? Oh, Antichrist. And Antichrist, last time I checked, Keith, Antichrists are bad people. Now, who on earth has a religion that is more antichrist than Judaism? There is no such thing. It is the most antichrist religion on earth. And yet they're going to tell us that these people are somehow good people. And my favorite one is, and I used to believe this when I was a younger person, they're going to repent en masse. Someday they're going to repent in mass and come back to the flock. Well, let me tell you, if you hold your breath on that one, you're crazy. And let me know how it works out for you, you folks out there that think these monsters who are creating all the havoc and destruction in this world are somehow going to, quote, repent when they're making trillions of dollars off of human misery. And they've done this for thousands and thousands of years. And you think that these people are going to one day just go, oh, I'm really sorry, so I'm going to turn over my $6 trillion to the poor of Africa and the poor in North America, Central America, South America, Europe, and Asia. Yeah, I really feel bad that I've stolen all these trillions of dollars, ruined all these lives, raped all of these children, consumed all this flesh. Oh, yeah, I really feel bad about that. Let me tell you, if it hasn't happened for thousands of years, the odds of it happening anytime soon are pretty much nil. Back to you.
As the Apostle Paul said in one of his letters, these people come out of the womb, and I'm paraphrasing here, these people are born liars straight out of the womb. I will add to that. They're not only born liars straight out of the womb, they're born thieves and murderers also.
Well, look
we
at their
to
track
Paul's
record.
Writing a little bit.
Right. Look at their track record through the ages.
He didn't go far enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is through the ages of time. A millennial, right? I mean, these people have been doing this stuff since the Garden of Eden.
Well, there's
okay?
there's
liars, thieves, and murderers.
Right. There's a book written by a gentleman I know over in England, in London, as a matter of fact. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock has written a book called The Synagogue of Satan.
And the whole book. I highly recommend it. Wonderful book. Go buy a copy.
Exactly. The whole book is just a continual compilation of all of the rotten, nasty things these people have done as a group. I mean, who in his right mind wants these creatures, these miscreants, walking amongst us doing their dirty deeds? I mean, that's like having a perfectly healthy body and then walking out into a sewer somewhere and going, yeah, go ahead and just have all the microbes and everything enter in here. I've got this 100% healthy body. Just, yeah, go ahead and throw a bunch of those nasty microbes in there and let's see what they do. Look at America. It started out pure, clean, and Bible-believing Caucasians from Europe primarily. Okay? And now look at it. It's a hodgepodge of miscreants and degenerates. And what's the common denominator? Every nation that lets these people in and lets them do what they do is destroyed all through history, always. We just don't seem to learn, do we?
No, we don't learn. It's, you know, here's a little old – here's a saying that I recently came across, Dan, that I actually laughed out loud because it was it's true and funny at the same time. And this goes along with groups, right? And I don't know who said this. It was said recently. I think it was said recently. I could be wrong. It could have been said years ago. But if it's a group of blacks, it's a gang. If it's a group of Italians doing nefarious things, it's a mafia. If it's a group of Jews doing nefarious things, it's just a coincidence.
Yeah, God's chosen people, all right.
Right. You know, and if you don't laugh about some of this stuff, you'll end up jumping off a building. So you have to inject a little bit of humor into this when you're studying this stuff, even though it's not a funny situation. You have to, or, you know, you'll be not living your fullest life you can. But yeah, this is, you know, these people are a real problem, and I hate to call them people because they're not even people. But I'll use the term people to make it easy for most. You know, this is a big problem. This has been a big problem since Old Testament times, which was why our Father in the Old Testament times told us to slaughter all of them. And we didn't do it. We had the chance back then to do it. And we didn't do it. And now we're living with the repercussions of this. So we can blame our ancestors for this problem, if you want, because they didn't do it for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe they thought that, you know, oh, geez, at the water cooler, right, Dan, that, oh, back in biblical times, they're at work at the water cooler. Well, you know, Shlomo's a good guy. He's funny. Look how he makes us laugh at work. You know, maybe they were thinking those things like our people think today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing what they were supposed to be doing. Anyway, let me
along
move
that,
on.
Along that ahead, line, Dan. Let me just inject a little something here for the academics out there and for the naysayers. I've got sitting on my shelf over here a copy of Thayer's Greek lexicon. I bought it back in the 1980s when I first learned about identity. And it's a beautiful book. In fact, I've got one on Hebrew and Greek. And the reason it's so great is because these books were produced before the internet and before people could have personal computers. They were just outrageously expensive prior to that. And so I was forced to do word searches the old-fashioned way, sitting down with a tablet and hard copy of volumes such as this. So anyway, one day I'm looking up the Greek word eudaios, which is Strong's number 2453. And eudaios was their word for people living in the area of Judea or a member of the tribe of Judah, which is our people, obviously. So I'm looking this word up, and I thought, wow, this is interesting, because most Bibles translate this word as Jew, which is meaningless, okay? If you don't know the context, you don't know what the hell it's even talking about. But here is the most interesting part. And by the way, if you don't have the money or time to go buy this lexicon, there is a copy, literal copy, because I've checked it. It's from the same edition of the book I have on my shelf. You can find it electronically at blueletterbible.org under their section of lexicons. So again, blue, as in the color, blueletterbible.org. Now listen to this definition of this Greek word in this lexicon, what it has to say. The Apostle John, inasmuch as agreeably to the state of things in his day, he, meaning John, looked upon the Jews as a body of men hostile to Christianity, with whom he, meaning John, had come to see that both he and all true Christians had nothing in common as respects religious matters. Even in his record of the life of Yahshua, not only himself makes a distinction between the Jews and Yahshua, but ascribes to Yahshua and his apostles language in which they distinguish themselves from the Jews as though the latter sprang from an alien race.
That sums it up pretty well right there.
So 2,000 years ago, John, the beloved, and the apostles wrote in the Greek language their description of the situation between them and Yahshua. By the way, for those folks that say Yahshua was a Jew, this definition out of this lexicon blows that clear out of the water, because John said there was nothing in common between Yahshua and his apostles and these group of people called Jews who were hostile to the believers of Yahshua. So that's obvious. He's not tying any of the apostles, who were Benjaminites, by the way, part of the 12 tribes, and Yahshua, does not tie them to these creatures called Jews, which, by the way, Pontius Pilate and Tiberius Caesar, but particularly Pontius Pilate, had nothing good to say in his personal writings to Caesar when he was the potentate of the area of Palestine where Christ was and his apostles. When he wrote of the Jews, he found them to be disgusting. Just like General George S. Patton, when he talked in letters to his wife and some of his associates, he spoke of the Jews as if they were a disgusting, nasty, dirty, immoral race. In fact, Joe Cortina, who was a Special Forces commander, I've got his three-volume set of books called John 844, Exposing the Sons of Satan. He was a commander overseas. He spent time in Israel, and so he knew these people up close and personal, and on our show here, he described them the same way. So here we have 2,000 years ago, apostles and Yahshua and a Roman potentate describing Jews as despicable, ugly, untrustworthy people, and then so 2,000 years later, we have a United States Army general, United States Army colonel, two of them I know, and others, many others, and that refer to these people in the same kind of language that they did 2,000 years ago. So let me ask you, Keith, if this group of people who supposedly have good members among them, in two millennia, not a single thing by a trustworthy source has said anything good about them, what makes these idiots that go to churches today think that something's good going to come out of this group today?
Well, they don't understand that it's genetic. They don't understand anything about genetics and how that determines a lot of your behavior. You know, people say it's, you can go back and argue, what's the environment? Well, that's not true. That's partial. Well, let me see. That's a partial truth. Okay, your environment that you grow up in. But what determines your behavior ultimately is the genetics, how your brain works, how your brain is wired, right? Your brain mm-hmm. controls your behavior. Other things add into that factor, but, you know, you can take the environment that you grow up in isn't as significant. It's actually pretty low on the totem pole of how your behavior is going to be. And this is how you know this. You take a rich guy who grew up wealthy and you take a poor person who grew up poor, right? Mm-hmm. Well, rich people steal constantly.
Right.
Poor people steal also. So is it the environment or is it how you're wired? Well, it's how you're wired, obviously.
It's how you're wired, yep.
Right, it's how you're wired. So most people don't understand that genetics, and this is genetic, they think that people can change because you've got these Jewish psychiatrists and psychologists out there telling you that, oh, these people can be reformed. Oh, they can be reformed. They can, you know, take back what they've done and live a better life. Most can't. And you see this with the, you know, recidivism rate in prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why do people keep on going back to prison after they've been there? You think if you've been there once, you wouldn't want to ever go back and walk a straight life. But they don't. They go back and forth constantly between prison. Why? Because it's in their genetics.
Do you think, Keith, that's why the Bible says when people commit certain crimes, you're supposed to execute them, not put them in prison?
Yeah, because our Father knows that prison doesn't work for these crimes. Oh, it might work for the guy who steals a car, right? Who gives a shit? It's a car, right? But is it going to work for someone who just murdered a whole family of five or raped children or, you know, committed massive financial fraud or, you know, which devastated people and made people homeless and kill themselves because they have no more money left because you stole their money that they're living on and they're 75 years old?
Right. Exactly.
This happens all the time. It just happened with FTX, the crypto exchange.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That was a giant crypto trading platform. Okay? All run by, you know, Bankman. Isn't that fucking cute? I'm sorry, Dan. Isn't that cute? Bankman. That was the guy's name, the Jew's name who headed it up. And if you look at all the top positions in that company, FTX, guess what? They weren't Eskimos.
Geez, let me guess. Were they Jews?
Oh, Dan, ding, ding, ding. You win the prize for the day.
Damn, I'm smart.
Yeah, every single one. Every single time. That should be the new meme. I wish I could spread that over the internet because people have said in the past, do you realize that every single time? Not some, not most, every single time it's these people.
Mm-hmm.
Every single frickin' time. I mean, don't you get sick of it after a while?
They don't shock me anymore. Their behavior I've learned over the decades, okay, so they don't shock me. What shocks me the most is white people. How they can be Yahweh's chosen Adamic race and be this stupid and this soy boyed and cuckified in this day and age and believe the bullshit coming across the electronic toilets. How they can do that, I don't know. How do you turn off the instinct for survival? How do you turn off the instinct to love your children or even the instinct to have children? How do you turn off the genes within you that promote decency and honesty and say that this sick, demented, Jewish-controlled hell that we find ourselves in is a good thing? How do you do that? Back to you.
Let me just interject there real quick, Dan. It's not only the big Jews, right? It's their minions, too. And I go back and forth, what's worse? Is it the big Jew at the top who's just doing what he's genetically programmed to do? Or is it our people who work for him and do his bidding and carry out his plans, the Jews' plans. I don't know who's worse, Dan.
I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that the beast roams around looking for his victims, looking for those to proselytize, which is what the Jews do. And once they proselytize an Anglo-Saxon, he becomes twice the child of hell that they are. That's right out of Scripture. So there's your answer. Our people who do the bidding of these people have got us, our race, behaving in such a way that it is beyond belief disgusting. And that's why I say, I've never really had an argument. Even when I first started going on the internet with computers, I used to go to chat rooms and on blogs, and I ran up against black people and brown people, Oriental people, and Jews. My biggest arguments, though, the most people that gave me fits were fellow whites. I found it easy to debate Jews because all you got to do is outlast them by about 5 minutes in a intellectual discussion. And as soon as their intimidation doesn't work, as soon as you no longer worship them because of, quote, who they are or their credentials, they blow a gasket, literally blow a gasket. They go from trying to sound intelligent to words coming out of their filthy mouth that would make a drunken sailor look like a choir boy, okay? They literally it's almost like they transform, they morph. Once you win, okay, so all you have to do is outlast them for about 5 to 10 minutes, and when they know their bullshit doesn't work, they just lose it. It's the same way as that county prosecutor I dealt with years ago. And this is many years ago, but I was trying to extricate a lady, an identity woman that had been wrongfully put in jail. And so I'm talking to this smarmy little Jew assistant county prosecutor, and the same thing. He comes walking up to me, and I was probably 30-40% bigger than he was. And he starts talking to me about what I can and can't do, and the procedures say this and all that. And I just looked at him and I said, look, I write procedures for a living. I know how it works, son. And I said, and I know you people write them, and then you violate them whenever you damn well please. So I don't want to hear about your damn procedures because they're meaningless. Let me tell you what's going to happen here today. And if I don't get what I want, I'm simply going to walk out that door and I'm going to continue to expose you assholes down here and all your criminal activity in the local papers. So you can either give me what I want, which was just to have a visit with her for about 20 minutes in person, or I go out the door and just keep doing what I'm doing. Well, he went away and 20 minutes later he said, all right, you can go see her. But the look in his face is what was priceless. When he reached that breakover point, the look went from trying to glare at me and intimidate me to where, and I'm being honest here, he had the look of terror in his face. It's like there's a movie, I can't think of the name of it now, where they masquerade as, quote, good guys, which is what Jews often do, and when they realize the cover has been blown, the look of terror that you're now there, you're like the emperor with no clothes. That's exactly the look on their face. Uh-oh, my clothing's gone. The cloaking device is shut off, and they now see me as in the movie They Live, when you put the sunglasses on. You see them for the ugly lizards that they are. Okay, they're ugly on the inside, ugly on the outside. Which, by the way, Yahweh did us a favor. As Jews age, they start to look on the outside much like they are in the inside. Okay, the Aryan man or woman typically ages well. In fact, many of my friends, we've looked at pictures of when we were in our 30s and 40s, and you look at, and a lot of them, yeah, we look older, but we actually look more dignified as we age. Whereas the Jew, it's the actual opposite. Look at Bella Abzug and Madeleine Albright and the Rothschilds and Schumer and all the rest of these kikes. Okay? As they get older, they look more reptilian. Even younger ones like this Bankman-Fried, the thief with FTX or Zuckerberg, the stooge they put out there to be the face of Facebook. Guess what? They don't even look like they're from this world. And they're young yet. What do you think they're going to look like in another couple decades? You're going to look like they crawled out from beneath a rock over near where all the dinosaurs and all the dragons were buried or something. I mean, it's, he does us a favor. He says now all of that evil that resides within them, all of the lies and deception starts permeating out to the outer layers of skin. And now you can see them for what they're really like.
Yeah, that's for sure, Dan. They actually turn into looking like monsters. But let me just touch on what you said about, you know, how you can outlast them for 5 or 10 minutes. And then they normally fraud a derogatory term your way. They call you a racist or anti-Semitic, and that ends the conversation right there, the debate. That's why Jews won't debate anybody on any topics. Have you noticed that, Dan? You know, Jews will never debate anybody. And that kid Nick Fuentes, and I don't know what people think about the kid Nick Fuentes. He's fine in my book, I guess. He speaks out and is brave enough to do that and this, that, and the other thing. But he just challenged that little weaselly, slimy, little, like you just want to grab him and just like throw him down a ditch, right? That Ben Shapiro. that disgust. I mean, look at that disgusting. His skin just looks greasy, doesn't it? Oh, he's disgusting. Anyway, Nick Fuentes just challenged that creepy Ben Shapiro little Weasley character to a debate, and I guarantee you, Ben Shapiro, who's so smart. Oh, he's so smart. He's such a smart guy because he goes up against low IQ, idiot liberals about topics of, you know, immigration and things like this. Look, he's so smart. He just schooled that person. Well, the only reason why Ben Shapiro schools these people is because the other people aren't educated on the topic of the Jewish question. Mm-hmm. Nick Fuentes is. So the debate would last about 10 minutes, and Nick Fuentes would bury this Ben Shapiro character who's so smart. He's so smart. Jews aren't smart. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Jews aren't smart. They're clever. There's a difference.
Oh, yeah. Big difference. And they're okay. Cunning.
And once you know
they're
this,
cunning.
Right. And once you know this, okay, they can never win an argument or a debate against people who are educated on what these creatures are. Right. So that debate will never take place. I would love if it did. It would be excellent. But that Ben Shapiro is a cowardly Jew like the rest of them who would get buried. So, you know, that goes with that, Dan.
Right.
We got a lot of ground to cover here, Dan. Let me move on to another article here, mm-hmm. if you don't mind.
No, fine.
Okay, great. Here we go. Okay, now, I don't agree with the profession of lawyers. Okay, let me just state that out up front. I think the profession of lawyers is unnecessary in a civilized society. Which I believe that a society should be homogeneous and deals should be done on a handshake and your word. So that's my stance on how it should be. But it's not so in this rat-infested world. We need to have lawyers who are smart. We need to have lawyers who have good reasoning skills. We need to have lawyers who are clever, okay? Also, as along with being smart, because the way society and business and agreements are set up in today's world, Dan, would you agree with that?
Yeah, the unfortunate part is competent lawyers are very hard to find.
Okay, well, there's going to be even more hard to find because this is the article I've got here, and this was posted on LouRockwell.com. Lou Rockwell. Not really a fan. Think he's a shill. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I just figured I'd throw that out so you guys don't think I'm praising this Lou Rockwell character.
Right.
Here we go. Okay. So good luck hiring a lawyer in the future. Really. Good luck. Here, see, this is how they're just – I'll just go on with the article. an arm of the American Bar Association voted on November 18th to end the long-withstanding requirement that prospective law students take the law school admission test, the LSAT. This is a standardized test which gauges one's logical reasoning skills rather than a strictly knowledge-based test as the SAT, GRE, and MCAT. Okay. Dan, did you hear what I just read?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what did I say the qualifications were for a good lawyer? They should have good reasoning skills. They should be very smart. They should be technically oriented. They should be, you know, somewhat clever because you got to go up against clever people instead of smart people, right? So you need all these things. So they're taking out a major part of the skills that you need to be able to be a successful good lawyer to help your client that just hired you with their hard-earned money. They're taking out the reasoning skills. Now, you might be sitting there saying, why would they want to do that? Oh, boy, that's awfully odd. Well, it's all to make law school more diverse. Huh, diverse. Well, to all the dummies out there, diversity is a code word for letting inferior races and inferior people take over important positions in society.
Mm-hmm. And these inferior people will do as the Jew tells them to do. So that gives right. them basically turns the court system, the legal system, into a rubber stamp for the Talmudic Jew.
So basically, any idiot out there who can get through high school and college, and believe me, you don't have to be smart to get through high school, nor do you have to be smart to get through college. All you have to do is answer their test questions correct, which are normally multiple choice because the teacher or professor are too friggin' lazy to do any work that they're supposed to do. So they give a multiple choice test, which, you know, you got a 1 out of 4 chance, which is pretty damn good. It's sort of like if you're playing poker on a video poker machine and you got your 5 cards there, 4 come up as a single suit of clubs, and you got one more that you can, you know, you got a 25% chance to get your flush if you throw the 1 card away, right? Same type of deal.
Right.
So, good luck hiring a lawyer in the future, because them coming out of law schools are going to be complete big dummies.
Yep, I've been to court in the last, I think it's been in the last 7 years. I was a juror in a court proceeding, and I did it because I thought it was my duty. So, and plus, I was just curious to see how things have changed since the last time I was on jury duty. And sure enough, down here in South Florida anyway, I was pretty much on target. The courtroom, and thank goodness it was an older Caucasian gentleman that was the judge. If it had not been, it would have been even worse. But we sat in there and listened to these two lawyers in a case where this individual had run over somebody in his car. And they're debating back and forth on how much liability this individual should pay. And really, you look at the face of the other jurors, and it's like you can't believe you're watching a soap opera. You've got lawyer A who presents a show. It's all a show. There's nothing based on law, nothing based on facts even. It's all presentation, which is what the Jews love, because it's like what? Entertainment. The movies. That's where they excel. They're hypocrites. They're actors. And so now they got the legal profession doing the exact same thing. You've got the prosecution actor and the defense actor, and they're vying against each other to win the jury with their acting. It no longer matters what the truth is. It doesn't even matter what the law is. It's whichever is the best actor is going to win. And so what happens is, in the case that I was recently watching, was they were both so bad that neither one of them was swaying the jury. And so they settled out of court. which happens the majority of the time, because the lawyers are so terrible, so inept, they can't even do a good job of acting to convince a jury. And fortunately, this jury was made up of mostly professional white people. And so they weren't winning us over, because both of them were terrible. They didn't present anything of value. It was just a show of force to try to persuade us to vote for this guy or that guy. It was pathetic. And so by the third day, the two lawyers got together and they settled out of court. Case closed.
Case closed. But yeah, I mean, and here's what the article, here's an important sentence from the article. If this is adopted, it would make standardized testing optional for a career that notoriously demands a lot of standardized knowledge. Now, this is important because Dan described one scenario of lawyers in the courtroom, right? Well, there's a whole nother scenario. Let's say that you're trying to start a business with somebody, and you got to remember this, you got to keep in mind the society we live in. Again, it's not a handshake society, so you need these legal forms drawn up or you're just shooting yourself in the foot. So that means if your lawyer goes to law school, doesn't take the LSAT because he's not smart enough, but graduates from law school, right?
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't know the standardized knowledge. When he draws up that contract, if he leaves out one comma, if he leaves out one period, if he leaves out one sentence, that could be detrimental to your financial situation in that business partnership. Do you understand this, how critical this is? Okay?
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, so there's a legal system right there destroying that too.
They destroy everything they touch.
Every single thing they destroy, they touch.
Let me make a quick announcement here, Keith.
Sure.
I was contacted by, I think most of the listeners know, John Kaminsky. He's a pretty prolific writer. He used to have a show on Speak Free Radio, but he's left there. But John Kaminsky has talked to the black Harlem preacher, James David Manning, and they have agreed to do an interview. And since he no longer has a platform, I've offered my platform on a free conference call. And so sometime this afternoon, it has not been set yet, but sometime this afternoon, James David Manning is going to do a roundtable with John Kaminsky and myself.
Wow, that should be great. That should be rather interesting. Pastor Manning, you know, you want to call him that, or if you want to call him by his full name or whatever you want to call him, understands it and tells the truth about his people.
Amen. Amen. And he told the truth about Barack Obama. He's been very outspoken about the fact that blacks and other minorities should not be running the United States. Because it was founded by European whites, and it should remain in their control. And he tells his congregation continually that you are here supporting the demise of the white man in his own country. He said, I hope you understand when this ship goes down, everybody goes down with it. So you enjoy your cars and your nice apartments and all your toys and your bells and whistles, but just remember, it's the white man who provided it. So when the Jew destroys the white race and their countries and they go back to jungles, all of those goodies are going to go away.
Yeah, I mean, I've got nothing against black people. I've got nothing against Mexicans. Do I believe they commit a lot of the crime in the country? Well, yes. I mean, this is a proven fact.
They're the symptom.
Thank you. They're the symptom of this. The only group of people I despise are the ones at the top. And when I say despise, I hate them as King David hated them with a perfect hatred.
Okay? Amen.
The blacks just go along with it because they're enriched financially, right? The Indians go along with it because they're enriched financially. The Mexicans go along with it because they allow them to stay in the country and they're enriched financially. So they're neither here nor there for me. I encounter many what some people would say nice or decent blacks on occasion. And I've got nothing against them. Does that mean I want to go have a barbecue and celebrate their child's wedding together? No, of course not. But I just look at them as just a pawn in the game, right? They're just a pawn. They're a useful tool for whoever can round them up and rally them up and put them to use for a certain cause or a certain job they're trying to get done. So I've got nothing against them. I have major, major issues with the parasitical synagogue of Satan Jews out there. I can't stand them. I think they're all evil. And I wish they would all just move to that disgusting litter box in the Middle East. I mean, they praise their litter box Israel so much. Why don't they just go there? Get the fuck out of my country. And go back to that hellhole in the Middle East. And I don't care if you take the whole Middle East over. Don't give a crap if you take it all over. Take the Palestinian land. I don't care. Take all these. I don't care. Just get out of here. Okay? Nobody likes you. Nobody thinks you're legitimate. And the people are waking up. And I don't care what people think of this Kanye West character. I don't, some people say, oh, it's a psyop. He's really working for the Jews and, this, that, and the other thing. Well, that might be the case. I don't care if it is or not. We'll never know if it is or not. Okay. I just like what Kanye West is saying. I support Kanye West, as a matter of fact. Well, he hates white people. Good. Let him hate us. Don't care about that. I don't want to go to barbecues with Kanye West or any of them. But what I do want to do is live out the rest of my years and have my nieces and nephews and all the little white children have a decent world to live in. That's what I care about.
Right. Well, it's like the old saying in business, bad publicity is still publicity. All right.
I'm glad Kanye West is calling out these disgusting weasel, satanic. See, like, well, Kanye West is one of them black Hebrews. Good. Let him be one of those black Hebrews. That whole thing could be debunked in less time than the Holo-Hoax can be debunked in.
Right, because they don't have the resources to promote that lie.
Right. So who cares? Let him do that. It's great that he's speaking out. He's exposing the rats in the woodpile. Don't you see what he's doing? He's exposing it, right? Let the blacks come to our side. You think we could use them for some stuff?
Well, the more right. in our camp is, the more against the enemy, and the more the enemy right. is exposed, the less control and the less hiding they can do in the wood, as you call it, the wood pile, or the wizard behind the curtain, as in the Wizard of Oz. They get away with their machinations because they do that, and they do it in secrecy. Okay, they are very cunning, but they are also just like a cockroach. They do not like exposure. They do not like the light being turned on. Reminds me one time I went into my buddy's house in Georgia. I guess he wasn't all that clean because I walked into his kitchen in the morning and I flipped the light on. There must have been 50 cockroaches in the middle of the floor, and they went scurrying to every corner of his kitchen as soon as the light went on. And that's what it reminds me of, these monsters in shoe leather that walk amongst us. They're just like the cockroach. They work in the dark. They count on you being ignorant. They count on you being lazy, never looking into anything, never questioning the narrative. Just listen and obey like the dumb little goyim that you are while they're tearing down your civilization, tearing down your infrastructure. But when the lights turned on, as Kanye has done, flip the switch on, they scurry and run for cover. They can't stand. That's why they hated Christ, Yeshua. They hated him because he was exposing them for what they are. And that's why another group that I detest, Keith, is these modern day preachers in these mainstream so-called churches, which are nothing more than whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones today. All of them are. So organized religion, Yeshua hated it. because organized religion ends up doing what's best for the organization, just as political parties end up doing what's best for the party and not what's best for the country. So organization, centralization, are all antithetical to liberty and freedom and getting justice done in this world. All of it is. Everything centralized is Zionist communist. Back to you.
Yeah, they love to centralize things. But, you know, getting these blacks riled up over the Jews is great. I think it's wonderful. I cheer it on. I say, Kanye, keep speaking. Keep telling your people what these people are doing and what they've done. Okay, these Jews have single-handedly destroyed. See, blacks used to have their own neighborhoods. Okay? They used to have houses, and they used to have families. They used to have their own neighborhoods.
Yep, where I grew up, that's the way it was.
And people would live separate lives, right? Blacks got together with other blacks for birthday parties. Whites get together with other people, birthday parties with other whites, okay? Once this Jewish menace is eliminated from society and the world, all people just fall back the way it should be, because it's naturally ingrained in our genetics. It's abnormal for blacks to hold a barbecue and have a couple white guys show up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is abnormal behavior. Okay? And it's abnormal behavior for a group of whites to have a barbecue and have a couple blacks show up. This is abnormal behavior. This is behavior that is pushed on people. People like to be around people who have the same values and look like them. This is just a normal thing that took place all throughout time, just except until recently. And recently, probably the past, I don't know, 50 years or so, Dan, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 60 well, years, which is rather recent in the big scheme of things.
Right. Where I grew up in Pennsylvania, it was a small town out in the country, and across the main river that ran through the town, on the other side of the river was a small community of blacks. There weren't a whole lot of them, but there was a small community of them. And one of the children of the families there played on my Teener League baseball team. His name was Henry Green. And everybody loved Henry. Henry was funny. He was a good baseball player. He was a first stringer. I was a catcher. And so nobody ever said a disparaging thing to Henry or his family. But like you said, at the end of the game, he and his family packed up and they went back to their side of town. And nobody had a problem with that. The blacks didn't care about that. They had their own area and we had our area, and the two didn't interact very often other than things like that, like a little Teener League baseball game. The point of it is, also, that I remember as a boy, the blacks in that community were healthy. I mean, they weren't these walking stomachs that we see today of even white and black people. Okay. They were trim, just like Henry. Henry was a very trim, athletic young man, and so were all the white guys on the team. All of us were trim and healthy. And so were the blacks that lived over there. Nobody went over there burning crosses in their yards or throwing, rotten eggs at their house. No, we didn't do that. Nobody messed with them, and they didn't mess with us, and everybody got along just fine. And quite frankly, they were very healthy and happy. Okay. So were we. Segregation was a good thing, not a bad thing. That's why the Jews want diversity. They know it doesn't work. It causes chaos and agitation and consternation between the parties. They know that. They want that. They revel in that because that takes our attention away from all the nefarious things they're doing.
Right. It's a big distraction. Blacks used to have their own Wall Street, in quotes. All right? And that's fine. Let them have their own stuff. That's what they want. They want their own stuff. White people – this is why this whole thing doesn't work, and that's exactly right, Dan. They revel in the conflict that integration causes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, I can't help it if some white people take this to the extreme and they marry blacks or blacks marry whites and they produce kids and this, that, and the other thing, okay? That's a whole different story. But then again, that would not happen without the Jews' interference. Oh, it might happen in a blue moon, right? Okay? We can't – people say, well, that's – oh, it could happen. Well, yeah, it could happen, but chances are it's very unlikely if you grew up in a normal society.
Right.
Okay, the problem is we don't have a normal society because we have these little rats running around who cause trouble in every single industry, in every single neighborhood association, in every single extracurricular activity. These people cause trouble. They are the troublemakers of the world. Okay, as was said, written in one of their books, Samuel, the book is called You Gentiles. Okay, written by a Jew. He says they are destroyers. Coming out of the Jew's mouth, they are destroyers. Jews are destroyers. They destroy societies. They destroy everything they touch. Again, this all goes back to the very simple fact that can be proven that they are the genetic children of a fallen angel in the Garden of Eden. That is where they come from. They are of the lineage of Cain. They are also of the lineage of Esau. Okay, this is why they do the things that they do. If you don't understand that, you can't possibly understand why the world is the way it is. And you can't possibly understand anything that's written in the Bible if you don't understand this simple concept.
Well, it's why we call it identity, because identity correctly identifies the people in the scripture so that it makes sense. Whereas if you don't know who's who in the zoo, it doesn't make any sense at all. If you actually think everybody walking on two legs came from the same ancestors, and that Yahweh thinks of all of us in the exact same way, and there is no covenant, there is no promises to a certain group that are to administer his law, if you can't figure that out, then it's hopeless. You're not going to get the value that's there in the scriptures for his sons and daughters.
Yeah, you must understand this stuff. Okay, you have to understand this stuff. And, well, the first step is to get out of the church that you go to. Here's a little story. Me and my wife decided to, a couple years back, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, we decided to go to a church down the road. And we walked in, and they were very, very nice people. And they happened to be discussing the book of John. And they were going through it from the first page until the last page. And the guy would get up there and do like a little – he'd read a couple lines or talk about a so-called concept in the book of John. And don't get me wrong, they never touch on the real book of John, right? they touch on the fringes of it, right, the feel-good stuff, right? And so we went there, and we're sitting there, and we said, okay, well, that was pretty interesting. We decided to go back the next week. And it's a mixed congregation, right? They've got, a majority of white people, some Mexicans, and then some other nondescript creatures. Okay, I'll phrase them like that, sitting there. So we go back the next week or a couple weeks later just to go back there and get a listen and see what's going on there and what they're talking about, what they're teaching these naive people who are sitting in the pews there. Because you know they'll never crack the Bible. The Bible's got more dust on it in their house that they wouldn't be able to pick it up. It'd be so heavy with dust. So we're there and we sit down. And all of a sudden there's this smell in the air. And it was like a putrid, almost like a sulfurish putrid smell. And sure enough, I don't know if you people are familiar with Preston Bailey, who's a minister of Dallas, Texas, who handles a lot of satanic ritual abuse cases and things like this. And he says in his book, which is called Spiritual Warfare, it's a very good book. I highly recommend you buy it. The guy's name is Preston Bailey, and the website is Spiritual Warfare Center. He's got a book called Spiritual Warfare. It's very, very good. And he talks about how every church that is in this country has got a prominent Satanist involved in the, for lack of a better term, clergy or pastors. And there's also a demon that is given domain over the church. So we're sitting in there, and all of a sudden this smell, this putrid, like almost like you couldn't even – we actually had to move seats. That's how bad it was. And sitting in front of us was this nondescript creature sitting there emanating this horrible smell. Okay, so you got to get out of these churches, because there are literal demons in these church buildings as you're sitting there. Okay, and if you touch one of these demons, they can actually transfer. So if you're just talking to this person, you just think they smell because they've got, haven't taken a shower, they got bad body odor. Okay, if you touch one of these demons, they can actually transfer into your own body and infect you. Okay, that's why you need to get out of these churches, because there's literal demons inside of the church sitting next to you, and you just think it's a person who's got bad body odor. You have any comment on that, Dan?
No. Whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones. So not only is it an allegory, but it apparently putrid smell is probably very similar to if you came up across an open grave. The putrefying flesh would give off a very distinct bad smell.
This wasn't a white person was putting off the smell. It was some nondescript. I don't know what they were from or where they were from. Nobody would be able to pinpoint, okay, they're Brazilian. They're from, Africa. I mean, this was a nondescript. It was not a male. It was a female entity that was sitting there, kind of disheveled looking, but not really disheveled looking, right? You know, the shirt might have been like a size too big, kind of shuffling around, right, with those Croc shoes on, shuffling around, had a pair of slacks on, jet black, ringy, wiry hair, not a homeless person. Their hands and fingernails were clean. Okay?
Yeah.
You must be observant when you go out. Details are very, very important. So it wasn't a homeless person, but I truly believe that that is one of the demons that was assigned to that church to keep watch over what they're teaching the gullible flock. According to Preston Bailey, this is what takes place. He would know. Okay, he was a pastor for 30 some odd years. And has dived heavily into the occult and wrote a book on spiritual warfare and goes through the different entities and classes of entities and fallen angels that are out there that are actually assigned to this world. He goes as far to say that every church is assigned a demon and every church is assigned an angel, for lack of a better term, to watch over. It's a very interesting book, a very interesting guy. And again, people say, well, he could be lying. He's got no reason to lie. Okay, when people write these books, they don't make any money off these things.
Yeah, Amazon makes sure of that.
Okay, so, no, the person who's lying is the person who's living in a, 12-bedroom home with 24 bathrooms in it and calls himself a preacher on TV. Not the guy who went through seminary school 30 years ago and headed up a church and tried to reform prostitutes and drug dealers and drug addicts on the streets of Texas to come to our Father Christ. that's not the guy who's lying, who writes a book and doesn't make any money off a book and pretty much doesn't preach in churches anymore.
Well, that's kind of why he said judge these people by their fruits, regardless of their DNA, where they come from, or what term we give. We are to judge their fruits, their actions, their motives. And that will tell you pretty much everything, because a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So no matter what their rhetoric is, no matter what their credentials are, no matter how much money they have, no matter what kind of car they drive, what kind of fruit do they have? What motivates them? What have they accomplished? That'll tell you everything about them. Back to you.
Yeah. Again, the book is by Dr. Preston Bailey, Spiritual Warfare, it's called. You can buy it off of Amazon. And don't be cheap. It'll cost you about $20 or so. It's a very, very good book, and it goes through stuff that you should know. It goes through certain prayers that you should be praying every day. It goes through the armor of God. And it goes through how these entities are actually walking amongst us that you think are human beings. They're not. That's why they can do the things that they do. Well, so what are you saying, that Jews aren't human beings? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. They are not human beings. They're not like you. They have demonic genetic material within them. Fallen angel is just a demon, right? Another word for a demon.
Yeah, there's two schools of thought on that. Demons in the classical sense, and then also the idea that the demonic spirit is what occupies just people. Some people have that demonic spirit within them, and when the demonic spirit takes over, it changes them. It changes their even their physiology can be changed. When just like people I know, they say they have dark energy. Okay, Debbie Downers, the naysayers. When you hang around those people, they'll actually suck energy from you. So. Again, like
they're,
I said,
psychic vampires.
Right. So there's two schools of thought on that, whether A, it's a actual demonic takeover, or is it just a person who becomes demonic in the sense that they become evil? Their persona takes on that of what we classically call a demon. Just so people know that there are two schools of thought, just like there's two schools of thought on germ theory and terrain theory. The germ theory, of course, was made up by the pharmaceutical industry and the Jews, so that you'll buy vaccines and drugs and poisons, whereas terrain theory is what our ancestors taught, that your terrain, meaning your body, is the most important thing, and if you take care of the terrain, you don't have to worry about germs and microbes and all that. You really don't. Even George Carlin used to do a skit where he talked about swimming in the Manhattan River when he was a boy with actual sewage floating by. Said it was nasty as hell, but that's why he never got sick, because as a boy, his immune system was exposed to every germ known to man. And so he had antibodies for all of it, and ability to ward off these microbes at the cellular level within his body.
Yeah. Hey Dan, give me two. I got to step away for 2 minutes. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No minutes. Problem. Yep. Well, just talk for a minute here about that interview coming up this afternoon. If all goes well, I have not heard from Mr. Kaminsky yet. But I'm supposed to get a phone call this afternoon. As soon as I know the exact time, I'm expecting it to be somewhere around 4 or 5 p.m. Eastern time. I will send out an email notice to everybody that has it, and I'll try to put a little blurb up on the website too. That interview, if we were able to have that interview, should be amazing, because I have a lot of questions I want to ask Mr. Manning. Also, the fact that the beast system has now attacked Pastor Manning, and that's very recent. Keith was telling me about that. and so was John Kaminsky. The Beast System is attacking the Outlaw Church, which is what his ministry is called, there in Harlem, New York. And he has a pretty significant outreach by radio and by the size of his congregation to the black community. And they are attacking him, trying to destroy him because of his stand exposing the criminals amongst us, and especially the Jews and what they're up to. So,
Dan, I'm back. I'm sorry.
Okay. So between Kaminsky and Pastor Manning, it should be quite an eye-opener when we have that discussion. All right, Keith, go ahead, bud.
Okay, moving on. I think we've beat that dead horse.
Yeah.
okay, here's another news article from Reuters. You're going to love this one. For those of you who've caught it, I don't know if you did or not, but here you go. You ready for this, Dan? U.S. Supreme Court leans toward limiting public corruption prosecutions. Let me repeat that.
Yeah, I was going to say, what
the highest, the highest court in the nation, the U.S. Supreme Court, leans toward limiting public corruption prosecutions.
And just what the hell does that gibberish mean? What are they actually trying to say there? Have you done the digging on that?
They're trying to say that corruption by these so-called officials and these so-called Congress people and these so-called business-connected lobbyists and things like this will not be prosecuted any longer for their corruption.
Hmm. Well, the Supreme Court is 100% Jewish. So, surprise you?
No. So conservative and liberal justices asked questions on Monday indicating they still see the Justice Department's view of the class of people who can be targeted under U.S. corruption laws as too broad by implicating private lobbyists in addition to public officials. Let me put that in simpler terms. They don't consider lobbyists criminals. A lobbyist is a criminal. A lobbyist is a tame word for someone who goes in, whether it be your local city council, whether it be the U.S. House of Representatives, the Senate, I don't care what government official office it is. Lobbyist is a tame word for people who go in and bribe your elected, so-called elected officials. They don't want to be able to they don't want you to be able to prosecute those people for bribing public officials. This is what this means. A lobbyist is a scumbag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bribery. Exactly.
Okay? It's sort of like when people call baby murder abortion. It's a sanitized term.
Or call babies a fetus so that you'll think of them as not being a real person.
Right. It's a sanitized term. Liberal justice Elena Kagan. Liberal justice? Let me rephrase that, what should be written there. Liberal Jewish justice Elena Kagan expressed doubt that the government, under its view of the law, could avoid prosecuting someone who is just a really, really good lobbyist. Okay. Again, this goes along with the whole lawyer article we touched on a little while ago, Dan, during this presentation here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So now not only are they going to have a bunch of dummies as lawyers, but now a lobbyist, in quotes, who's actually a professional bribery expert, it won't be prosecuted.
this is why Congress people go into Congress where they only make a couple hundred thousand a year and they come out multimillionaires.
What are you talking about, Dan? They're in for us, Dan. They're supporting our views and working for us, Dan. You must be one of them conspiracy theorists.
I'm a conspiracy realist.
I mean, okay, so can you guys see what's happening? And this is going, I mean, the Jews have got the pedal to the metal.
Yeah, they do,
in the actually. Old term, okay? They've right. got the pedal to the metal. Stuff is moving so quickly that you can't even keep up with it all. It'd be a full-time job.
Right.
I mean, I'm just browsing the internet in the morning before I go to work, you know, for 20 minutes coming up with these articles.
The news is out there if people care for to know what's going on and care about the truth. It's not like this is all done in super secrecy anymore. They just figure that they've got so much control and power, especially over the financial system, that it no longer matters that we've figured out that they're Satan's kids or that they're communists trying to enslave all of mankind in this world communist system. They don't care. They just literally don't care. They're almost like thumbing their nose at you saying, what are you going to do about it? Yeah, we're despicable. We rape children. We eat them. We've debased your currency. We've stolen your industries. We've stolen your private property. We've stolen your savings account. What are you going to do about it, Whitey? Because it's the white man that's the white man that they're worried about. The armed white men that still have some testosterone in their veins. That's who they're worried about. That's why they want to align every other segment of society against the white man today. They got our women against us, our children against us, the minorities against us, because the minorities think that Jews are white. That's the biggest problem. Thank God that one black guy put that TikTok video out recently where he said, I'm apologizing to all my white friends. I grew up thinking all the bad stuff done to the black race was done by white people when it was Jews. That's the biggest problem I've got. People got to stop referring to Jews as white. They're not white.
They admit they're not white.
Amen. They know it. It's stupid white people and sometimes minorities that blame, just like what was done to, quote, the indigenous Indians that were here, even though two-thirds of the Indians here in America and North America were Caucasians from Europe that came here thousands of years ago and stayed. That's a whole show we could do on that, the proof of that, the archaeologists and authors that have written extensively on that fact. Okay, but the point of it is that, you know, never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. So we got to, you know, I'm glad that black guy on TikTok is saying this stuff. You know, right. Jews, people don't understand. Well, only the real religious Jews consider themselves not white, but the everyday Jew considers himself white. I know. Look at all Shlomo at the water cooler at work. He's a funny white guy like me. No, he's not anything like you. Do you know that Jews send their kids to camp every summer? Not the religious Jews. I'm talking about the non-religious Jews who are your funny David at the cooler, water cooler at work Jew, right? The funny Jew at the water cooler, right? They send their kids to special Jewish camps. You didn't know that, did you? Well, they do. And what they're taught there is they taught that they're Jews. They're not white. I've got video of one of these camps where there's probably 40, 50 little Jewish kids sitting in a room, and there's a guitarist in front of the Jews, and they're singing a song. And the tagline of the song goes, I'm not white, I'm Jewish. I'm not white, I'm Jewish. So they know. Do you understand? These are born liars. These are born deceivers who walk amongst you. And they want you to think that they don't know. A while back, we move around a lot, and I've held a lot of different jobs, and we move around a lot, and I was working at a friend of mine's restaurant at one point, and they hired a Jewish girl this is how tricky they are. Okay, this is how tricky they are. And I looked at her resume. And her resume had on it that she worked at a Christian camp. Okay, even though she was Jewish and a proud Jew. So I decided to call her out one day about her being Jewish by race and not by religion. And you should have seen this creature's face. It became all like wriggly, like all like almost like it was going to go into a spasm when I called this out, because she knew that Jews are a race and that she's a racial Jew. They try to hide this from you. They try to play dumb. They all know. Every single one of them knows that they are a racial group of people. You must get that through your thick heads. Okay? There's no funny Shlomo at the water cooler. Okay? It's a deceptive being at the water cooler doing what they do to keep you off the path of truth and righteousness, and to keep you in the gutter that you live in. They all work together. Well, what do you mean? They sit around a table and discuss these things? No. It's in their genetic makeup to do these things. You must, I don't know how to stress this enough, Dan. The people must understand this. And until our people wake up to that fact, and the fact that the whole political system, no matter who you vote in, I don't give a crap who you decide to vote for. You must understand that whoever is on the voting ballot is already vetted by these Jews. There is not one person who gets – and you know who told us this, Dan? Cynthia McKinney. You remember that black lady who was in House of Representatives for one term?
Yes.
Do you remember what she told the people? Well, don't – or you do. Good. The people out there who don't know about this, Cynthia McKinney was a black representative, I think, from the state of Georgia, who got the U.S. House of Representatives, who did nothing in the House of Representatives, right, because she can't – her hands are tied. So she got in there and she said that the Jews come to you and they say you are going to support every Jewish cause. You are going to support the state of Israel no matter what, or you will not be reelected and we won't fund your campaigns. And they have you sign the sheet of paper. They probably have you sign it in blood, but she didn't take it that far. She refused to sign it, and look what happened to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they funded her next campaign. The guy that was running against her, they dumped all kind of money in his campaign so that he got voted in.
Right. So.
And now she lives overseas, by the way.
Oh, she does.
I think she lives in the Philippines. She doesn't live in the United States. A lot of people, like Dr. Jim Willey and others. I know another guy named Al who's in Puerto Rico. People are in the Costa Rica, different areas like that. They've gotten out of the United States because literally, just like Christopher Bolin, who exposed 9/11, the treason and the actual goings on 9/11. They live in foreign countries because it's not safe here.
Well, that's like Jesse Ventura. Are you familiar with the wrestler Jesse Ventura, who was elected governor of Minnesota?
Oh, yes.
A while back, about, I don't know, 15, a little over 15 years ago, probably. My timeline might be a little bit off, but around then. Did you ever hear the story that he told? And I believe he told it to Alex Jones. And we all know, whatever, Alex Jones, whatever. But he told this story. Jesse Ventura told this story. And you knew he was serious because of Jesse Ventura starts to twitch a little bit when he starts to tell serious things. And he gets – you can tell the adrenaline starts running in Jesse Ventura's body. I believe Jesse Ventura is a good guy, I believe that he was a legitimate guy. And he no longer lives in this country. You know where he lives now? And I'll tell you why he lives there. He lives in a remote part of Mexico that's off the grid. He's about 3 hours from civilization.
Wow.
Okay. Well, when he was elected, he told this story. I believe it was to Alex Jones he told this story to. And I've got the video clip somewhere in my collection. I tried to find it for somebody the other day, and I can't find it. I've got it somewhere here. And if I find it, Dan, I'll send it to you when he tells the story. And he tells a story that after the election, he was all excited. He shows up for the first day of work at the Minnesota Governor's building there in Minnesota. And this is for those of you who think, well, just the Senate and the House of Representatives is all corrupt. The governors are still some good guys. Look at DeSantis. He's a really good guy. No, DeSantis is a piece of shit. Excuse my language. But anyway, Jesse Ventura shows up the first day at work at the governor's office, and there's a man there. And the man says, hello, Mr. Ventura. Good morning. And I'm giving some color to the story a little bit, so trying to tell it the way he would tell it, right? And the man's there, and he goes, oh, Mr. Ventura, we've got a meeting. Then Jesse Ventura proceeds to walk to the meeting room. He goes, no. He goes, no, the meeting's downstairs in the basement. In the basement of the governor's building, there's a meeting? So Jesse Ventura proceeds to go down to the basement with this man. And he enters the room in the basement, and there's about 8 men down there, he says. And there's 8 chairs and 8 men, and 8 men are sitting in the chairs. And these 8 men proceed to tell him what he can do and what he cannot do. And they say, do you understand? He said, yes, I understand. And the meeting was over.
Mm-hmm.
This is what goes on, guys.
Well, I've told you, I think, and some of the listeners remember years ago, I had a very good friend of mine from the power industry who had a cousin from a southern state that went to the United States House of Representatives, and everybody for the family was excited about that because his family's been in politics at the local level all the way up to U.S. Senator. Quite a bit. So they were very excited the cousin got elected. And a year after he got elected, he came home. He resigned and came home halfway through his term. And I said, whoa. I said, you had to have asked him why. And he said, oh, I asked him why. And he said, I'm getting out of Washington, D.C. before they do to me and my family what they've done to everybody else in Washington, D.C. And then years later, I saw him again and said, you know, hey, did you ever get any more details about your cousin? And he goes, yeah, he told me about the day Dick Cheney came in and put a piece of paper in front of him and said, here's a bill that's coming up in front of the House of Representatives, and here's how you're going to vote. And he said, well, wait a minute, I'm going to vote the way I think my constituents want me to vote. He goes, no, you don't understand. This is how you're going to vote. So that's the kind of bullshit that goes on in our, quote, nation's capital. And we wonder why nothing ever changes and why you can elect or support Democrat, Republican, or Independent. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference because just like Jesse Ventura found out, the little weasels that run the show, the little weasels that count the money in the changing houses are the same weasels that Yeshua Messiah beat out of the temple with a whip. The same hook-nosed little bastards are at work in the cellars, in the basements, and in the dark today that have been working against us for millennia.
Yep, and Jesse Ventura is not some meek little weak guy. Jesse Ventura is a big, tough guy who was a former Navy SEAL, I believe, and also a professional wrestler. This is a tough guy.
Yep. Well, you're up against criminals. Just read the book Red Mafia, How the Russian Mob Invaded the United States, and it's written by a Jew named Friedman. I highly recommend the book.
Excellent book. I've got
excellent
it upstairs.
Book. Excellent. Yep. Excellent book because he even says in the book, and you can verify this, Keith, that when he uses the term Russian mafia, that's just a euphemism for the Jewish mob from the Ukraine.
Yes, which is why they killed him.
Which is why they killed him for writing the book, yes.
Right. Yeah, that's an excellent book. Highly recommend that book. Excellent, excellent book.
Well, it also does something else. It explains why our governments run like the mob. Because literally the mob has taken over the government. The Jewish mob took over. They bought their way into government positions because they know our people are too damn stupid to look past these morons that were raised from the time we start going to institutionalized schools to just obey the authorities. And the lying preachers support that nonsense by mistranslating Romans 13. So they're constantly told from the time they're little children, oh, you have to obey the authorities. Even when the authorities are communist Jews that have bought their way in using terror and bribery, and now they've taken over the counting of the votes, just like Joseph Stalin, that Jewish whore from Russia, said years ago, it doesn't matter who votes, the power is in counting the votes. So Joseph Stalin knew that clear back in the 1930s and 40s. How come our people don't realize it today? Your casting of ballot, folks, doesn't mean a damn thing when your enemy is the guy in charge of counting the votes. And if you can't see that today, I'm sorry, but you are just dumber than a box of rocks, period.
As long as people believe that they can vote some stooge in the office and that he's a good guy and he's just trying to do the right thing, this, that, and the other thing, as long as our people still believe this, nothing will ever change because you can't fix this broken system. This broken system has to collapse and then has to be rebuilt.
That's why we're trying to build communities outside. Get communities of our people just like the Amish do. Get the hell out of this damn system. Get on land, either adjoining properties or a big piece of properties and subdivide it, whatever it takes. We need to come out of Babylon. We need to get away from this system because it's sinking, and it's going to sink fast. When it starts, it'll be too late. It's going to happen just like Obadiah says, like a brush fire. Go ahead.
Yeah, because – and there's some little things that you can do. Let's turn this last 10 minutes or so we've got here, Dan, and talk about some positive stuff, what people can do to get out of this system. I've got some more news articles, but those can wait. Little things that you can do, they go, well, how can I get out of the system? How can I punish the system? Well, the first thing that you can do is those of you who work for companies as a W-2 employee and you get your paycheck, stop having that paycheck directly deposited into your bank account. Make them physically give you a check. This is all going towards your central bank digital currency, as we touched on the beginning of this program. Once that's implemented, good luck. Good luck. Mm-hmm. You're going to need it. You better start collecting four-leaf clovers because you're going to need them. Because they certainly won't turn to Christ. They'll turn to some amulet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some idol they've got in their house. They'll pray to it. But anyway, let me get back on topic here. So stop having your check directly deposited. When you do that, it legitimizes the banking system. Well, Keith, it's just a convenience. Stop being so crazy. I'm not being crazy. It supports the banking system. The banking system is is probably the biggest problem we have in this country, the banking system. Number two thing that you can do, when you go to the store and you go grocery shopping or you're going to buy birthday presents or something like this or anything that you're going to buy, don't put it on your credit card or your bank card. Pay them in cash. Every time you put something on a credit card or a bank card, you legitimize the system.
Mm-hmm.
okay, pay cash. Well, that's too much trouble. I can't go down to the ATM machine and get cash out. It might take 5 minutes out of my day. My busy day is I sit there and watch football and drool on myself. Okay, go pay cash for things. Okay, stop with this stuff. Don't pay your bills with the automatic payment. Make it difficult for them. Make them hire people as cashiers. Okay? Make them hire people to go through envelopes and take checks out of the envelope or take money orders out of the envelope. That's how you make these companies suffer. They don't want any employees. Have you been to your local grocery store lately, Dan? Okay? I don't know if you have or not. I don't go to grocery stores because I can't stand the idiots walking around in them. So my wife goes. Okay? They don't even have any checkout lanes open with people working in them. It's all automated, pay with your card system now.
Yeah,
these are jobs that our people need.
Well, you know, that's a program by the Jews to eliminate the human element. They want robots, whether you're in flesh or metal bodies, doesn't matter to them, but they want a robotic attitude of the people working for them.
Right. When you go to the bank, have you noticed, and I can't go there either because it drives me nuts looking at these idiots standing around me. I don't go many places anymore. My wife does because I can't take it. You go to the bank. What do they have inside now? One teller working? Because you get your check deposited, you're causing our people to lose their jobs. Think about that next time you get your check directly deposited into your account. You just caused one of our people to lose their job they need to feed their baby with. Well, they work at a bank. Well, where the hell do you work? Some Jew corporation, you asswipe? They're no better than them. So, well, this is what you get, Dan, right? These are the snide remarks you get, right?
Oh, I know.
From the peanut gallery.
I know.
Right? So, listen here. These are two simple things that you can do to hurt the system. Okay? You want to punish this system. You don't want to go along to get along with it. You want to try and punish it every way you can. Okay? It's unfortunate that most of our people have to work for these Jewish corporations. It's very, very unfortunate. But that's the life that has become. Right? You can no longer go to a local hardware store. You got to go to Jew-owned Lowe's. Or Home Depot. They give you two choices again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Left, right, blue, red, Lowe's, Home Depot.
And they own both of them.
They own both of them, okay?
Right.
We don't go to those stores. Our washing machine just took a shit. We go down to a locally owned appliance store called, I forget the name of it, some appliance store locally owned by a Mexican family. Oh, you're buying stuff from Mexicans? Well, yeah, they're a local family-owned business. They're very nice people in the store. They got great deals and they got great service. The prices are right. You know the price for the washing machine was $300 less than Lowe's, Dan? And everyone keeps on telling me how cheap Lowe's is.
Right.
$300 less for the same friggin' washing machine. You know when they had it delivered and installed, Dan? That day.
Yep. Back. Somebody that still believes in customer service. Yep.
They all work in the store. The families, all the delivery people come to set it up. You know what they charge? They charge us $100 to come set it up and take the old broken machine out of the house, install a new one, make sure it's working okay, deliver it for $100. You know what Lowe's wants to deliver it now? $220.
Wow.
But Lowe's is so cheap. That's why we have loads.
At one time it was, but what people have to understand is when the Jews take over companies like Lowe's and Home Depot and Walmart, they start out keeping the prices down where the Anglos kept it. But over time, after they get you conditioned to think that they have the cheapest prices, then you notice that there's price creep upwards. And if you don't do like you do, which is research and look into it, you just automatically think you're going to get the best deal there when, like you said, if you do a little bit of research, you find out there's ways to get it much cheaper somewhere else.
It's the second appliance we bought from this Mexican family who owns the store. The first one happened when our dishwasher broke back in late 2020. Okay, when everybody was shut down still, right? And they allowed places to reopen slowly, right? From the phony pandemic. Mm-hmm. Well, here's what they told me. Well, we went to Lowe's first because at the time I wasn't thinking of a local appliance store. You automatically brain goes to Lowe's, and we needed a dishwasher because we were sick of washing – I know we're lazy, right? We were sick of washing dishes by hand for a couple of days, right? We get used to these minor conveniences, right? So we go down. We go to Lowe's, and we walk in the store, and – of course, you walk in Lowe's, there's no one there to help you, right? You got to roam around the friggin' aisle with the dishwashers for a half an hour before some idiot comes over and decides to try and help you. Well, they had the washing machine in stock, which was a bonus. But here's the thing. They couldn't install it for 5 to 6 weeks.
Whew.
So wow. I asked the guy if he was insane and what the problem was. And of course they blame it on, well, you know, there's a pandemic going on. I go, no shit. I still need the dishwasher. I'm not waiting 6 weeks. So we got back in the car and we're Googling appliance stores. And here's where we came across this little family owned place. So we go down to a little family owned place. We walk in and right away this Mexican fellow comes over to us. Says, hey folks, how you doing today? What can I help you with? Well, I was caught off guard because I'm used to being ignored when I walk into stores that the Jews own, such as Lowe's and Home Depot. And he proceeded to show us the dishwasher model and our price range. He went through every single feature, knew it by heart, every single feature of what the thing does and why it's a good washing machine and why they carry it. Knew everything about it. The guy in Lowe's, they don't know anything. They're a bunch of dumbed down idiots at Lowe's, which is who they want working there, right? So we go, and I go, you know, man, we just came out of Lowe's, and I'm so glad you guys are open. He's like, well, we just reopened. I go, what do you mean you just reopened? He goes, well, the city came in and shut us down, and we weren't allowed to sell our appliances because of the pandemic. I go, well, wait a minute here. I said, Lowe's was able to sell all their appliances. They never had to shut down, but they shut you down? I said, isn't that interesting, sir? He said, yeah, never happen again. Have them come try it. Those were his words to me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we proceed to sign up the, you know, get the process taken care of. We pay the guy cash for the washing machine. And I go, when can we have this installed? He goes, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. I go, yep. Really? Because we just came from Lowe's and they told me 6 weeks. I say, great. And I proceeded to tell the Mexican fellow, I said, every appliance that I need and every appliance that my family needs who live in the area, we're coming to see you. Kept my word with the man. We went back and just bought another appliance from him because our other one broke, right?
Yeah.
So here's how you punish these Jews. Stop shopping at their stores if they can. Their prices aren't good. Their prices are actually high. But you've got the rewards card, right, Dan? You've got the little rewards card that you sign up for that say they're going to save you money. Guys, stop falling for the Jewish swindles. Please stop falling for it. Those reward cards, along with your the credit cards that give you points. These are the biggest scams going that hurt your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
The credit card doesn't give you points. It charges you 30% interest, dumbass. They charge you $4 million interest a year on your credit card balance. That's $10,000. But you're going to save 50 cents on an airline ticket. Hello, is anybody home?
Well,
you know, I'm sure most of your listeners understand this stuff, but for the newer people who don't understand this stuff, or people who are just waking up, these are the little tidbits that you need to understand.
Because
if you don't understand this stuff, you'll never be able to figure out how you're being conned and scammed every day by these Jews and their minions.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Dan. Any comments on that? I'm about I think I said everything I need to say today.
Our folks,
I appreciate you letting me get a little soapbox here and give my views on what our people need to understand. Because again, I keep on telling myself, "Oh, Keith, forget about it. You know, just live your life. Forget about it." I can't do it for some reason. Mm-hmm. I have tried. I can't do it. Every once in a while, I have to.
You got to vent. You got to vent, and you got to try. Yep.
I can't go. I cannot do it. Saying, "Oh, it's someone else's problem." It's not someone else's problem. It's my problem. It's your problem. It's the people who are listening to this program. It's your problem.
That's why three quarters.
Get out there and start talking to people.
3/4 of the scripture deal with the nation of Israel, meaning our race, instead of individuality issues. Okay, so a lot of people think it's all a individual spiritual experience, and yet 3/4 of scripture deals with our race as a group, as a family. That's why Malachi says at the end of the age, he will send Elijah the prophet to bring our people back together, and bring them back to the Father, because that's where we belong. He is the Father of our race, and we are all kinsmen, no matter what language we speak, no matter what part of this world we live in. We're all family, and we need to start behaving.
Yeah. This soft spot in my heart, I can't get rid of for some reason. I've tried. I tried hard to get rid of it. Believe
that
me.
That just proves who you are.
I can't get rid of it. And again, don't try and go wake up the idiot who is bringing their kid to listen to trannies read at the library. Those people, they're lost cause. It's done for them. Forget about them. Let the Father handle them. He knows that they're a lost cause. You're not going to wake them up. You're not going to change their mind. Forget about them. Okay? Go after the guy who's on the fence. He knows something is wrong, but he just can't pinpoint the little beady-eyed rat.
Right.
And there's a certain way you can do it. Dan, how much time do I have? Do I have a couple minutes?
A couple minutes, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Real quick. Don't go after the guy who's on the fence, and don't go screaming and yelling about the Hall of Hoax. Okay, don't go screaming and yelling about how great Hitler is. Okay, talk to him about everyday things that affect him and his family's life, and then interject little breadcrumbs of Jesus Christ and our Father, how wonderful they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's how you win. And I have tried many different ways over the past 12 years of how to go about this. And I've tried everything from screaming and yelling to doing what I do now, which is that. Find the person who's on the fence, who's disagreeing with what's going on in society, and drop little hints about who's doing this to them, who the people are, and then inject how wonderful Jesus is and our Father is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't yell and scream about the Hall of Hoax. Nobody cares about the Hall of Hoax. Nobody. Nobody gives a crap. No one cares. No one cares about Hitler. Oh, you're bashing Hitler. No, I don't care about Hitler. Hitler lost. That's all you need to know. Okay, and why did he lose? Well, he was never meant to win. Okay? He lost because it wasn't in God's plan for him to win. If he lost, the book of Revelation would all be false. I mean, if he won, the book of Revelation would all be false. The whole Bible would be false. Right? So he wasn't meant to win. Was he a good man? I believe so. I believe Adolf Hitler was a very good Christian family man from everything I've studied on him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as far as I take it.
Well, when I look into that, real quick before we close, when I look into that, because sure. I've wondered that ever since I was a boy, I've always admired the I'm half German, so German people, even German history as a boy, I admired it. And I always wondered, when they had the most moral men, the best equipped soldiers, the best trained soldiers, the most courageous soldiers, how in the hell did they lose? Even though the whole world was turned against them due to Jewish propaganda. The only thing I can conceive of is the fact that the Germans did not do what the whole world condemns them for. They did not get rid of all the Jews, and they let them stay in their country, run businesses, run pharmacies, run banks, and even be members of their military. That's a mistake. You can't let these people in your land, and you cannot let them be spies and termites eating away at your infrastructure day in and day out. You cannot do that, and Germany did that. And that was their downfall. They did not go far enough. They did not exile every single one of them the hell out of our country. And that's why they failed.
The other problem was, Dan, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's why they failed as far as I know. Go ahead and then we'll close.
Yeah, because this could be a show in its own, right? This could be a 10-hour show, right, just on this. But yeah, real quick. And the other reason why that he lost was, if you recall and if you've watched the videos, right, Hitler talks about God the Almighty is doing God's work and all this stuff, which is what our Father wants. See, our Father deserves and is the only one who should get any credit for any success you have in your life. Okay? The one problem was, what were the people of Germany doing, Dan? They were Sieg Heiling Adolf Hitler, not Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
Okay?
Worshipping a man is what you're saying.
Right, the glory was going towards Mr. Hitler instead of the Almighty Jesus Christ for putting Hitler into power. Jesus did that, right? God did that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Interesting. Like you said, we could do a whole show on this topic.
That angle is very, very interesting. That's a very interesting angle of why he lost, right? Because King David gave all the glory to Jesus Christ, and all the people gave all the glory to Jesus Christ, Yahweh, whatever you want to call him, right? Gave all the glory to him, not to King David. See, Hitler made the mistake of not turning the people's response to the glory of Jesus Christ and not to himself.
Interesting. Well,
yeah,
again,
we'll end on that.
Yep, we'll go ahead and end on that. Thanks a lot, Keith. You take good care, and we are reaching folks, so stay strong, and we'll do another chat here soon, okay?
Sounds great. Everybody have a good day, and always remember, put Christ first in your life, and everything else will fall into place.
Amen. Get your priorities straight.
Yeah. Good night. Goodbye, everybody. Have a good day.
Yeah. Take care, buddy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's our brother Keith out there, and I'm going to just go ahead and shut this thing down. A lot of good things. We don't have to agree on every topic. That's part of being an Israelite, being an Aryan white man or woman. Just like in my own family, my blood brother and sister, we argued over many topics, and yet at the end of the day, my brother and my sister would take a bullet for me, and I would take a bullet for them. And we just agreed to disagree. We have to get to that point on many, many issues. Not the key issues, but there are a lot of issues of debate between white people that some of our people make a sticking point to where they break fellowship. And remember, in the book of Proverbs, it's very, very clear. One of the seven things that our Heavenly Father abhors, and go look that word up in the dictionary, abhor, A-B-H-O-R-S, abhors, is those who cause dissension amongst the brethren. So there was only seven in that list on that proverb, and one of them was those who caused dissension amongst the brethren. It's time for us to come back together, okay? We can debate about any issue. That's why on this program, you'll notice we have complete and utter uncensorship. Whether I agree or disagree with the guest, you'll never hear me stop them. They are entitled to their opinion, unless I know it to be 1,000% untrue. As long as it's a conjecture or an item that is more subjective than objective, then they have free speech. Everybody coming here has free speech. In fact, some of the greatest debates amongst the best friends I have is because we don't agree on everything. We don't want sounding boards or echo chambers. All right? Iron sharpens iron. And our men need to be iron once again. So do our ladies, but particularly we men. So just remember that. Iron sharpens iron. We don't let disagreements or not seeing eye to eye on virtually every single little issue cause a dissension amongst the ranks. We're in a war for our very existence. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brother Keith. And for all the listeners out there, we ask a blessing upon them. Elka and Gary, who are going through trials in San Diego, the authorities have taken Gary out of the hospital, and Elka is not even told where he's at. She has to get a lawyer to try to be able to even see and take care of her own husband. These are atrocities. We know that Jasmine and her mother Renee and little Hannah are going through a difficult time right now. We ask a blessing upon that situation for all involved. We have many other people that are suffering either from illness or persecution in this sick world that we live in. We ask a blessing upon those as well, that you would look out for your sons and daughters. Put a hedge of protection and angels around us, and protect us from the evil machinations of these creatures that crawl and slither around us. Help us also, Father, to build our arcs, our communities, that we can come out of this sick, demented system and get back to basic living, much closer to the earth, much closer to you in simplicity, and live amongst ourselves. We repent of what our ancestors did when they turned against you and your law. We repent that we've followed man-made government and put it above your law. We repent that we've sought after gold and silver and the things of this world, the material things, and put that as such a high thing that many of us violate your law in the gaining of money, which is a sin. We've done a lot of things wrong, Father. We repent of those. We ask for a cleansing. We ask for the blood of Yeshua to be used to cleanse us and turn us back into ambassadors, to beacons of light in this dark, dark world, that those who actually care about the truth will seek us out and seek answers to the tough questions. Again, we ask you bless the message, that it reach those that are meant to hear it. We ask if John and Pastor Manning and I are able to get together, we ask you to bless that interview. And just as we go by day in this struggle, we just want you to lift us up and fill us full of Holy Spirit. Give us courage. Take away the spirit of fear. And always we ask that you protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.
Today, we're all going to learn a new term. It's only two words. Now listen closely. Can all of you say constructive fraud?
Constructive fraud!
Did you ever get the feeling, as you're staring at the ceiling, that this game of life is playing fair? Seems as fast as we can make it, there's a hand that grabs and takes it till they plant us in a grave somewhere. Like a rodent on a treadmill, we keep pushing for it uphill, but we never seem to get too far. Well, if you think you're being taken, then you're ready to awaken to the truth of what we really are. We're all indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened. Our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some socialistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is we're all saps who pay our taxes, and that is why the bankster us dumb. should the state of our condition be the product of omission? What we didn't learn in public schools? And did our fathers all through history all fight and die for liberty so we could play the tyrant's fools? And can you call it education when it's all indoctrination to obey the hidden powers that be? Did we fight the revolution? Did we win the world wars just to slumber into slavery? We're all indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some humanistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is we're all saps who pay those taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. While Franklin and Eleanor were telling us they hated war, they made a deal behind our backs. They said the bankers could enslave us for a portion of our wages, and today we call it income tax. But what they failed then to tell us was the way they planned to sell us into statutory slavery. Now it's called constructive fraud. Some even claim the wrath of God. I call it social insecurity. Let's stop being indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, and reclaim our lost posterity. Rise up and proclaim liberty. It's high time we rock the boat and make some waves. 'Cause as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb. They'll starve us on their communistic crumb. And the naked truth and fact is we don't have to pay those taxes. Yes, it's time we show those banksters, those international gangsters. So let's turn the tables and spoil all their fun.
That's all.
The gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and their darkness left to stay. But more than the blindness, he took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word that was all he had to say. And the one who had died just rose up straight away. The gentle healer came into our town today. Oh, he seems like just an ordinary man, with dirty feet and rough but gentle hands. But the words he says are hard to understand, and yet he seems like just an ordinary man. The gentle healer, he left our town today. I just looked around and found he'd gone away. Some folks from town have followed him, they say, that the gentle healer is the truth, the life, the way. Trust in me and keep your life free from
for you, and never will I leave you. That's something I'll never do. Forever remember that it's true. Never will I leave you. And when you fear the scars and tears, remember what I have sworn. I'll be with you through the storm, and never will I leave you. That's something I'd never do. Forever remember that it's true. Never will I leave you. And when you fear, that's when I'm near. Your soul's security. Oh, when will you believe that never will I leave you? That something I'll never.
It's coming down, it's coming down. The new world order's training armies on our ground. With soldiers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at me. Desire was only to be left alone. One day he sold a so-called friend a gun. One day the federal troops showed up and shot his wife and son. It's coming down, it's all around. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at me and you. Way down upon a Waco, Texas farm, I saw the lawless law there flex its long, mean arm. Before the sealed search warrants could even be served, the ATF shot up the place. Some got what they deserve. It's coming down, it's in your town.
troopers dressed in black and blue. I bet their leaders think they're fooling me and you. Foreign troops, they train upon American soil. They hide and sneak around like snakes that slither in coils. And while the people turn their heads complacently, their federal income tax goes up to fund this tyranny. It's coming down, it's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in blue and black, like the vicious dogs they are, they're training to attack.
My, 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 baby, you're my cup of tea. So my, 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 loving what you do to me. You got a motor like a brand new car, start a love for me. Send a yes, 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 something about your sexy ways. So yes, 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 gonna love you all my days. You got a motor like a brand new car, start a love for me. Fine tune machine, such a solid groove, the best I've ever seen. Oh, you got a motor like a brand new car, so start a love for me. Well, start it up, make me feel like romancing. Start it up. Start a love for me. Start a love.
Yeah.
Stars up in the sky, but I just need one star to catch my eye. I haven't found it, but I know the light could take a million years to get to me, but I know I'll know it when I see it, when I'm standing in the glow. At the speed of light, sailing into the night, hoping it brings me to you. Say, hey, we haven't met, but I've known you forever. It seems like, it feels like, hey, I'm betting that we'll be together before I awake from this dream. Catches my eye as I stand alone out on the beach.
things I wanna just beyond my reach, but I'm reaching just the same. The waves lap against my feet relentlessly. I feel the tide could bring you close to me, but I still don't know your name. I take off at the speed of light, sailing into the light, hoping it brings me to you. Say, hey, we haven't met, but I've known you forever. It seems like, it feels like, hey, I'm betting that we'll be together before I awake from this dream. Time after time I wake out of breath with your name on my lips. And hey, we haven't met, but I've known you forever. Say hey, I'm betting that we'll be together before I awake from this dream. Hey, we haven't met, but I've known you forever. It seems like, it feels like, hey, I'm betting that we'll be together before I awake from this dream.